I don't really know who to blame. Blame the tech guy in the church on this one. So I'm not going to say who it is just for the sake of that person. We don't want to talk bad about anybody. I'm actually the one that's supposed to do it. But yeah, we'll figure it out. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Appreciate the song, Miss Heather. And if you didn't hear me before, I hope you came with the expectation for the Lord to speak to your heart tonight. And Psalm 119, verse 18, says, Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. And we need the Lord to speak to us tonight. I don't have anything special to add to your life, but the Bible has some great, great things for you and I. And this is something that the Lord has taught me here recently, or retaught me recently, and I just want to bring that to you. And so we're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." And if you're like me and you have a strong grasp of the English language, "we do you to wit," he wants you to consider, he wants to bring to your attention the grace of God on the churches of Macedonia. Verse number 2, "how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, take upon us the fellowship of this ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." We're going to talk about this same grace that he mentions, this grace of God that he wanted to bring to their attention, the grace of God that was on these churches, that these churches had in Macedonia. And I don't know if you're like this, but the grace of God has almost become a Christian cliche statement that is our response when we're going through a bad time. It's like, well, you know, the grace of God. And do we really even know what that is? Could you really articulate what the grace of God is? There's actually a lot of different aspects of the grace of God. There's the grace of God that deals with our salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Right? So the grace of God is how we're saved. And then in this particular case, he's not talking to a bunch of lost people who need to get saved. The grace of God is something different. And we are going to see in this passage as we study this section of the Bible tonight, the grace that these churches in Macedonia had. Paul wanted the church in Corinth to have it, and because it's been recorded for us in Scripture, we are called to have this same grace. And the grace of God is something that we need to consider. That's what he says in verse 1. So number 1 tonight, consideration of God's grace. The source of God, of the grace that we're talking about here is God. And I know that's a very simple statement, but you cannot be relying upon the grace of God in your life. You cannot obtain the grace of God in your own strength. These believers were not a different species of human being. The churches in Macedonia, if you look at what they were going through in verse 2, it says, "how in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy." So in deep affliction, they had joy. They didn't have just a little bit of joy, they had an abundance of joy because of the grace of God. And then the last part of the verse says, "in their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." So though they were deeply impoverished, they sacrificially gave to the Apostle Paul and to the poor saints that were in Jerusalem who also were facing persecution, just as they were facing persecution. By the way, the persecution that they're facing is so far beyond whatever the outcome of our election is next week, that we really have no excuse whatsoever. I'm already sick of the election stuff. I've been sick of it for like 2 years. But if we cared as much about we care so much about the election, but we care so little about our own faith and our own status as Christians. If we cared half as much about our standing with God and our relationship with God as we do about the election, this nation would see a revival like it has never seen before. And that's to our shame, by the way. And so the source of this grace is God. So God is the one that bestowed this grace upon the churches of Macedonia, and Paul wanted to bring it to the attention of the Corinthian believers, not just to brag about the churches in Macedonia, not to say, hey, wouldn't it be cool if you were this way? He brought it to their attention so that they could be just like this other church, that they could have that same grace in their life. The grace of God is what Paul wanted to make note of. The grace of God was the reason why those believers responded the way that they did. And so he calls our attention to these Macedonian Christians, and the thing that was special about them is in verse 2, we talked about that a little bit already, but these people are no different than you and me. And I wonder, as we begin to get into the message this evening, is God's grace evident in your life, specifically in how you respond to the trials and tribulations of your life, we all have them, and in how you sacrificially give or do not give? Because the grace of God will produce that in your life if it is present. And so what I want you to understand, we're supposed to consider God's grace because that grace is available to each and every one of us. And not just available to us, but it is something that we are supposed to possess. God does not just give his grace to the people that he deems as his prized servants. Everybody should have this grace in their life. Everybody has access to this grace. The grace of God is not a Christian cliche. And in this particular case, the grace of God is the presence, the provision, and the enabling of God through his Spirit to continue faithfully through life. It's not talking about salvation. It's talking about God taking us where he wants us to be and making us who he wants us to be. The grace of God is available to you to do that in your life today. And I want to ask you, is that happening in your life? Is God working in your life to such a degree to where you are becoming more like Jesus, to where you are not just enduring the trials and tribulation of your life, but you have abundant joy in those things? And when you have opportunity to give, you don't just give a little bit, you sacrificially give, even if you don't have the means as other people might have the means to give. Your life can be sustained by the grace of God, and it should be sustained by the grace of God. Do your attitudes and actions, are they a reflection of God's grace working in your life? Paul calls our attention to the grace of God that was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, not to just point them out, but so that we could have this same grace also. That's what he says in verse number 6, insomuch that he desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. And the same thing is said at the end of verse 7, says, see that ye abound in this grace also. And so he calls our attention to the grace of God, not so that we can just admire, oh man, those people are doing a great thing. When the missionary from the Middle East was here, we looked at what he was doing, all the things that he had to go through. It's like, great job, man. I don't think I could do it. That's not why God brings our attention here. He wants us to possess the same thing that those people had. And so we're considering God's grace, and there's a great capability that comes with the grace of God in your life. Look at verse number 3. It says, for lo, to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift to take upon us the fellowship of this ministering to the saints. And so their power was insufficient, and they went beyond their own power because of the grace of God. That was why they had abundant joy in great trial and affliction. That was why they were sacrificially giving in their deep poverty, because the grace of God allowed them and empowered them to do more than what they were humanly capable of. That's what living by faith is. That's what being sustained by the grace of God is. And so if you are not living beyond your human reasoning, if you are not living beyond your own natural capabilities, if you are not seeing God build you and grow you to who He wants you to be, you're missing out on the grace that is available to you. That power was produced in them, but it's not in everybody. He calls the Corinthian believers, he calls their attention to that grace because they did not yet have it. And it's in the Bible for us because many of us do not possess this grace, or we had it for a time and we have set it down in our life. The grace of God is an optional thing for us as Christians. Every Christian is not living with the power that the grace of God offers us. And that's really the intent of Paul's message. He wanted the Corinthian believers to take hold of that same grace that the Macedonian believers had. Living by faith, fully depending on the Lord, trusting in God, and seeing God work in us through any circumstance is not something that comes automatically when you become a Christian. Most Christians do not have those things going on in their life. And that's why most of us do not have that abundant joy, even in our minimal level of trials and afflictions. And I know everybody's problems are big in your eyes, and I'm not diminishing those, but that's why you don't have the joy that you could, because you're not reliant upon the grace of God. If these Macedonian believers could have it, in the midst of being, you know, crucified for their faith, being hunted down, and they have joy, don't you think we could have it today? Or has God changed so much that because you have to pay a little bit more taxes now that you can't have any joy? Or because you know, your boss wasn't complimentary to you in a meeting? I know what that's like. Just kidding. All of us want the grace of God in our life. Everybody wants it. Nobody would sit there and say, "No, I'm gonna hard pass on that. I don't need God to help me through these things. I'll just make it on my own." Nobody consciously makes that decision. But what we fail to do is we fail to purposefully take hold of the grace of God in our life. And that's really what He's calling them to do. He sends Titus there to finish in them the same grace. And then verse number 7, He says, "See that ye abound in this grace also." And so we must consider the grace of God in our the grace of God, right? You need to be conscious of it. Do you have it? It's available to you. There's great capability that comes with the grace of God in your life. And then we must choose to embrace the grace of God in our life. And that's what we're going to spend the rest of our time on this evening. Choosing to have the grace of God in your life. And I'll be honest with you, as I read this and as I studied it, I had the same expectation. I almost played right into what Paul was writing. If you look at verse number 7, it says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." See, I look at that first section of that verse and I think, I've got everything that I need to have the grace of God in my life. All of us, when we look at ourselves, we're going to say that we're being the Christian that we should be, that we're doing the things that we're doing. That's what the beginning of verse 7 is. "Therefore, as ye abound." So they consistently had faith. The next thing, utterance. They said what they were supposed to say. They were careful with their conversation. Consistently, they were abounding in it. And knowledge. You're here on a Wednesday night. You're here for a Wednesday night Bible study. You have an interest in knowing more of the Word of God. You've got that. And if you do it consistently, you're abounding in it. And in all diligence. I don't think anybody here would say that you're careless with your faith, you're careless with your Christianity. And so we're diligent in our faith. We've got all these things that we're abounding in. That's not all there is. At the end of that verse, he says, see that ye abound in this grace also. And so all of those other things, they are part of the grace of God in your life, and the grace of God will teach you those things and help you to be those things, but you must consciously and purposefully see that you abound in this grace also. That means that we are supposed to, on purpose, ensure that we are joyful in affliction and sacrificially giving no matter what our financial circumstance is. And you know what? The fact that that is missing in so many of our lives, and missing in my life very often as well, the fact that that's missing, we've got the first part of verse 7 down, but we're missing that last part, and that's why we are missing that aspect of the grace of God in our life. We look at that whole list of things. Yeah, I've got faith. I'm at church all the time. I love the Lord. I'm trying to raise my family right. I'm diligent. I'm trying to say the right things. I'm doing all of these things. I'm learning more about the Word of God. I'm trying to grow closer to Him. But we have to consciously add this aspect to our faith. They were already doing so many things. They were already faithful in so many things. They had already grown to a great degree. Remember the letter of 1 Corinthians, it was a dysfunctional church filled with sin and carnal believers. And now when Paul writes back to them, he's talking about how they are abounding in faith and utterance and in knowledge and in diligence and love towards him and to the other believers. That's a pretty drastic amount of growth that took place between those two letters, just about a year and a half apart. That's a lot of growth. And I hope that you can look back at your life and say, hey, the Lord has brought me where I am. By the grace of God, I am where I am. God has done something in my heart, but there's something else that He wants to call your attention to. There's something else that we need to ensure that we are abounding in this grace also. We don't get to pick and choose the parts of our faith that we get to live and not live. You know what? If it was about coming to church and if it was about learning about the Bible, you know what? I can find all kinds of things that I'm passionate about learning in the Bible. We can find and make time to be at church faithfully. I don't know about you, but 95 plus percent of my friends are here. And so it's pretty easy to be at church. Right, we all have things come up, and we have opportunities for other things, but if you're trying to live a Christian life, you're going to prioritize church as much as you can. I'm not saying you're never going to miss, but you're going to be here a lot. And so we look at those are great things. Those are things that might be semi-easy for us at this point, but just because we're doing those things doesn't mean we get to neglect those others, and it especially doesn't mean that we get to expect that we're just automatically going to have abundant joy and affliction and to be cheerful, sacrificial givers like those Macedonian believers were. That was something that God wanted to finish in them. That was something that God wants to add to our life and incorporate into our faith. Have you considered whether you are abounding in this same grace? How often do you consider that? I don't know about you, but until I read this, I would say that I never considered that. When trial and affliction comes, we try to power through. We ask God to help us through. When, you know, mission causes come that touch our heart, we give. But this is something that we are called to consider even when we're not in those times. And so that when we're in those times, we're ready for them. And that when opportunities come, we have a different mindset when it comes to how we give. And so we're supposed to ensure, we're supposed to see that ye abound in this grace also. We need to choose to allow God's presence, His provision, and His enabling to determine how we view our situation every single day. We are supposed to look at our situation and look, regardless of what the bank balance is, we need to sacrificially give. And I'm not saying that you need to, go and just sell your house and not have anything. You should be responsible. God's given you responsibility to care for people that he's put in your life, but we could probably do a lot better than we do. Is anybody else mad Taco Bell raised their cravings box price? They raised it by a dollar. I was not happy. Seven bucks now. Like, I'll go spend $7 on some nasty Taco Bell, but then when it comes time to give, it's like, I don't know if it's in my budget. We have sufficient funds to spend money on what we want to spend our money on. And to give sacrificially, that's something that characterized those Macedonian believers, and Paul brought that to the attention of the Corinthian believers. And I ask you, as members of Bible Baptist Church, are you sacrificially giving to whatever God has laid on your heart? I'm not talking about your tithe. We're not supposed to rob God. I'm talking about sacrificially giving. If there's someone in need, do you help? If there's a missionary or special speaker, do you help or do you contribute towards that, towards those things? That is something that the grace of God produces in our heart. And it's not something that we do out of necessity then. When we do it out of necessity, without the Spirit of God calling us, we're doing it for some kind of eye service potentially. But if we say, you know what, Lord, help me to be a cheerful giver, give me a burden to give, he's going to give you plenty of opportunities to do that. When trial and affliction comes, or whatever version of that you're facing in your life, maybe you're going through deep trial and tribulation right now, and you have no joy whatsoever, God has that joy available to you, and it's through his grace that you can have that. We're supposed to ensure that we have that grace in our life. Do you have the grace of God in your life in those two areas specifically? In great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. I don't want to go through deep trial and affliction, but when those times come, I hope that my testimony is that, hey, he's still got joy through that. Because only God can give you joy in those situations. I hope that no matter how financially successful I am or I'm not, it could be said that he was a cheerful and sacrificial giver to the cause of Christ. That is something that only God can produce in our hearts. And Paul went out of his way to call our attention to that so that we would grow in those areas. And lastly, and just very briefly, very interesting when you consider the churches in Macedonia as who this was. This was not just one individual. This was not just one church. This was an entire group of churches. And you know what? That started with one person choosing to have that grace of God. When you allow God to work in your life, it does not just stick with you. It affects other people. It's not just going to benefit the people that you're giving to. It's not just going to benefit the people who experience your joy. Other people will see your faith and they will marvel at it and say, I want that too. And that's not why we do it. But I hope that we can encourage one another in this. I hope that it's not just something that we think about for 20 minutes on a Wednesday night and then we never think about it again. I hope it's something that, hey, no matter what happens in our life in the coming weeks, months, and years, that we can still trust the grace of God to give us joy. I hope that no matter how good or bad our finances get, that we can still abound to the riches of our liberality, that we can be cheerful and sacrificial givers to the Lord. And so do you have God's grace in your life? It's available. It's optional. You don't have to take advantage of it. We all want it, but we don't consider it enough. And so take hold of it. as you do those other things, as you're faithful, as you're diligent, as you're abounding in knowledge, as you're abounding in your love towards other believers, see that you abound in this grace also.